And this is Russ Dizdar. Welcome to October the 1st. This is 2010. It's a Friday night, though you might be listening live on Shadow of the Darkness Live's broadcast. You are also listening really right now to a pre-recorded session because we are at the conference, at the Supernatural Science and Prophecy Conference in Canton, Ohio. Listen, if you're getting this early on Friday, if you're in Cleveland or Akron or Columbus, listen, Canton, come on down and join us at the conference. Check it out, shatterthedarkness.net on the web, and you will see where it says Supernatural Science Prophecy Conference, and you could join us. We'd love to see you. Welcome to all those who might be listening to this early and to those who get it on iTunes. And I want to say welcome to many of you in 50 other countries. I want to say hello to the Russians, to the Poles, and to those in Finland and across Germany and England, Canada, United States, China, all around the world. I want to say again, thank you for coming. Thank you for being a part of this. It's a supernatural hour, I believe. It's been prayed over. There'll be an engagement, the summons of God, the inspiration of God, the spiritual warfare of the dark side. We're touching on the subject tonight. It's simply this: immortality, finite or infinite? We're going to take a look at some of the subject matter. I'm looking at a book right now in front of me, and this is it's pretty amazing, really is. Here's the title: The Scientific Conquest of Death, Essays on Infinite Lifespans. You know where this comes from? This comes from the Immortality Institute. And again, back in 2004, so listen to the chapter titles at least. Biological Immortality, the second one. Now, as you think through these chapters, they are really quite amazing. I'm just going to go over the titles real quick. The War on Aging, which is fine. The Dream of Elixir Vitale, of Life. Therapeutic Cloning, Nanomedicine, Human Body Version 2.0, Progress Towards Cyber Immortality. Here's one: Will Robots Inherit the Earth? Medical Time Travel, Some Ethical and Theoretical Considerations. Well, I'm glad they're going to get into those, but that chapter doesn't really deal with what we're going to deal with here. Well, there's Super Longevity Without Overpopulation. Well, what are we going to do? Choose when we're out of here so the others can stay. The Emancipation from Death. Wow. The Self-Defeating Ecstasy. Listen, we're going to go into Time Consciousness for a Long Life. And Confessions of a Proselytizing Immortalist. And on the book goes. Again, Scientific Conquest of Death. Now, I believe there is a conquest. I mean, millions and millions do all that they can to beat death. Even soldiers on the field do everything not to get hit. We do everything to keep safe. We really, truly don't want to die. Death does seem like a crazy thing, abnormal thing. It really does. The human body and all of its significance, the human personality, the life that we live, and then whatever we do, whatever we have done, we all, as it says in the book of Ecclesiastes, well, hey, listen, we're all gonna get there one day, and that's that issue of death. Years ago, I watched this movie, AI. Artificial intelligence, maybe you've seen it. It's a really good movie to contemplate. AI, about a family that they had a boy that was dying and maybe, needed. They brought in an AI, an artificial intelligence little boy. And boy, did he seem like a real little boy, or at least he wanted to be. He tried to be. So it's pretty amazing to watch this futuristic movie and a family with their own son bringing in this other boy. And what happens towards the end is, of course, the family dies out. Literally, all of humanity dies out. The little boy ends up at the bottom of the sea, the frozen tundra. The earth is gone. Everything is done. And guess what happens? At the end of the movie, benevolent aliens show up, and they find the little boy, the artificial intelligence little boy, and they bring him back, and they have him back in his room, and there he is still questing for life, even the artificially created little boy questing for life. The aliens knew that his timeline was up, that even the AI, the little boy, well, the AI was going to die. I mean, even on Star Trek, Data doesn't last forever. Forever is forever. That's immortality. That's the quest. That is the quest. When you look at the book, the singularity is near. When you read about what Ray Kurzweil says, and I'm looking at one chapter, the vexing question of consciousness. Who am I? What am I? The singularity as transcendence. Now listen, when I'm looking at the materials here and reading the materials, when it comes down to the search for immortality, let me tell you something, there is a quest on the tech side, on the spiritual side, counterfeit-wise, but there is also a immortality that is indestructible, irrevocable, and it's not the physics of man or the counterfeit pseudo offer of the dark side, a counterfeit immortality, but we're dealing here with infinite, involving all the physics of God, even though it's beyond the geneticists, the physicists, the scientists, the technocrats of today, listen, cannot tap into. And just because of that, I mean, will you forfeit indestructible, irrevocable immortality because you can't produce it genetically, because you can't produce it AI, machine-wise, because you can't produce it by taking your consciousness, your spirit, your soul out of your body and putting it into a cloned body that's younger and healthier, and then doing it again and again and again. I mean, the concept of cloning immortality. Listen, there is a reason why millions are spent and a massive amount of interest is involved in, well, the issue of immortality. How you doing? You know, what's your age? Are you 40? Are you 50? Are you 23? Are you 80? You know what? Whatever the age right now of your body, you've got to understand something. You're not just aging. Physically, you are literally, really, honestly, you're dying. You're moving towards that date. It's like being on the conveyor belt. I mean, there's something inside of us that keeps moving. It's in the genetics. It's in the genes. It's in the DNA. I mean, this is what occurs. I mean, shouldn't we be used to this? I mean, mankind is born and we live our lives and then we die. I mean, like the atheist would say, listen, we've had our turn. We've lived a life. Now it's time for us to get off this planet and let other people live. We don't want to overpopulate the planet. So listen, live a little bit, then die. You know, life stinks and then you die. And then death, what's the meaning of death? Who cares about the meaning? Maybe you can take drugs and not think about it. Maybe you can just meditate. What happens at the moment of death? Why is death so intrusive? Why is it so psychologically painful? Why is it so... Listen, we simply haven't got beyond the gateway of death. Not Houdini, the psychics, even those who say they are, they see dead people and speak to them. Are they? What are those entities anyway? Again, welcome to this, pre-recorded yet put out for live and in our broadcasts session. Again, this is Russ Dizdar, ShatterTheDarkness.net on the web. We want you to visit there because there's hundreds of MP3s. There's the series on Dark Rituals, Dark Powers. There's the series on Becoming Powerful in Prayer. There's a series on Psy Wars and Homo Satanus and many others that are all across the board. A lot of special events. There's news that we just put up from some friends on, the new political climate concerning survivalists. And you can get a hold of that article that's on the front page. Just scroll down a little ways. You'll see the series for the week and what we were doing all of this week with, the quest. So you want to be God. That's the theme for the week here in the end of September and the first day of October 2010. And I want you to know that there is the quest. We've dealt with the fallen cherub, and the very issue is the quest to be God, the quest to be infinite, the quest to take the throne. And listen, in that there was a disintegration and literally a dying. In our fall in the human race, and it all begins with this change in us. It involves behavior. It involves our ability to know God. It involves our ability to live forever. We were once eternal beings in the beginning, majestic, immortal, walking visually in fellowship, in beauty. It would have been spectacular. It would have been absolutely incredible to be there and feel it. But we're on this side of the fall, my dear friends, and we don't feel it. Even those of us who have received the living Christ, we feel the love of God, the forgiveness of God, the power of God, the presence of God, His work in. I mean, there's so many things we do. And the deposit within us, I do, of the immortality to come. And so inside there's a communication. You see, it's well with my soul. With the scientists and geneticists and the psychologists and many others, millions, it is not well with their soul when it comes to death. There is literally a kind of this angst and dread, beat the clock. Scientists in their 70s, beat the clock. Somehow, some way, come up with something. Can we transfer my soul into cyberspace? Can we transfer my soul and spirit into a cloned body of myself again and again and again? Can we preserve? What about cryonics? Maybe just freeze ourselves until the technology reaches the ability for a succession of events that can lead or acquire immortality. Immortality is a big thing. And so let me tell you some things about it in the beginning, but I want to read again to you a little bit out of this book called The Religion of Technology. And it's by David Noble, and it's in chapter one, and here's the quote. Quote, technology had come to be identified with transcendence, implicated as never before in the Christian idea of redemption. In other words, technology is now identified with transcendence. Technology and all that it's seeking and all that it's dreaming about and all that it can offer right now, is it the replacement of redemption? Is it seeking immortality on man's terms? And if so, does that mean by science, by technology, by all that we acquire, we can just simply go up, rip open the door to the throne and the locality of God and say, here we are, and we didn't need you? I wonder. And I wonder why. I wonder why we would do that if what we're seeking is the very nature of the always existing, never beginning, never ending, infinite, immortal, eternal, immeasurable, and incredible God. Well, in that chapter, Divine Likeness, the question is brought in, and the implication concerning this whole issue is there. We're doing the series this week. You can go back to the archives and get all of it. So You Want to Be God, subtitled Evolution to Deity. Quest of the Ages, Chasing the Elusive Carrot. And we had a special Wednesday night after the live show. We had Tom Horn on talking about Forbidden Gates and all of the issues here before the big conference coming up. So again, I hope that maybe you're on your way, maybe you're there at the conference, maybe it's Friday night, maybe it's Saturday at some point. And if you're in Canton, and if we've already met, let me say it's been a privilege and a divine appointment and an incredible time that we're all looking for. I'm reading now out of a book called Bridging Science and Spirit. I'm reading about Brome's view of reality. I mean, the scientists, the physicists, it's incredible where they're moving, because so much of it's connecting with old pantheism and the concept of spirituality all of reality being one. No concept really of transcendence there. The concept that we can constantly evolve, and maybe become the one, the promise that I believe is latent in the fallen spiritual alternative movements of humanity, and what is there deep embedded in the hundreds of millions worldwide in the New Age movement, is the concept, again, the quest for immortality, and the concept spiritually given, really there, a didache, a doctrine, a teaching, infused in the developments, the evolution of science, but still having its source in the fallen finite cherub. Now, this is I'll just simply quote it on page 93, assuming Brougham's view of reality. Within the ambiguity and seeming chaos of the world beyond the quantum lies a new level of order. Now, this is kind of striking. In other words, beyond all the chaos and the world that we live in and all of those studies in physics and with looking at atoms and looking at the quantum theory, breaking it all down and finding the substance of the universe beyond all of what is known, beyond all of what is current science, here's what the physicist is saying. There's a new level of order. It will be described eventually by a new theory. Listen again, I'm still quoting. The notion of an enfolded order seems destined to be an important concept in any new paradigm. Again, this concept that in all that we're studying, that all that we see concerning the universe, even the concept of the God particle, which CERN may find more out there on a physical, material basis. But again, they will not be able to pull in the hand of God, slice off a finger, and take it through the atlas and study it as if they really have that ability. Do they understand the infinite, immortal, nature of God? And here's one of the great failures, I believe, in the realm of science, in the realm of tech, in the realm of seeking immortality, whether it's AI, nanotechnology, wherever the concept is being played out right now. Let's look over a few things concerning this issue, this quest for immortality. And again, is it a quest for immortality? Is it a quest like the one book I read, The Scientific Quest of Death, Conquest, rather, of Death? Literally, the goal to conquer death. Now, in some senses, we do that. We get surgeries, we have heart bypasses, we have certain drugs that, all around the world, saving lives is a big issue. You know, pulling somebody from a fire, getting somebody out of the car, stopping the bleeding, all these things involve, saving lives, preserving lives, giving longevity to life, even when it comes to foods and smart foods and things that we can eat to give us a few more years. Just a few more years is all. Is that all we want? Or do we want it all? I mean, the quest, is science really believing that they can reach immortality? That the finite, no matter how powerful, broad, wide, the collective minds of the best, forged together, can they reach immortality? Well, let me just tell you one thing. I know on the dark side of things, the Hell's Kitchen, Hell's University, in all of the desire to become God, the insatiable lust to become God, which involves turning the finite, no matter how powerful, no matter how knowledgeable, into the infinite. And I think this is the physics that need to be thought through. And I'll say it later on in this program. the finite cannot evolve, become, burst into the infinite. We've already lost that with our ability, well, with our reality of having a start, living in sequence. Though God can walk in, operate in, and does, even in this moment, the sequence of time. You've got to understand something. God created time. Time doesn't master God. God masters time. God's beyond time. The transcendent nature of the infinite and the ability for him to be extremely detailed and personal. So in all of this comes the considerations of omnipresence, omniscience, and omnipotence when it comes to eternal life. Now, in the beginning, theologically, we understand that in Genesis 3, there is the hiding of the tree of life, that something happened to the genes of man, something in the fall where we lost the Spirit of God, we lost eternity, we lost our eternal nature. Because something, and the biblical revelation is death was an intrusion. The wages of sin is death. Death is considered an enemy to God. You got to know this. If by God's providence, a physicist, a scientist, a quester for immortality listens, then let me tell you this. God sees death also as an enemy to be conquered. If you can think in terms of an old book called The Death of Death in the Death of Christ, if I can at least point you to the cross where Christ died and the proclamation 700 years prior of that death, Isaiah 53, or the proclamation of the resurrection, the conquering of death, Psalm 16, everything about Old Testament progressive revelation and coming to Messiah, coming to God in human flesh involves genetics. It involves the incarnation. There's a reason why there's an incarnation, God mixed with humanity. That's a genetic thing. That is a spiritual thing. Well, I want to say this. It's beyond our comprehension in some way. We can understand it truly, but not, as Francis Schaeffer used to say, exhaustively. So when it comes to the tree of life, anyone that does knows, you know, the scripture, you know that it's hidden. That literally that God has set incredible beings there to guard it so that in the state that we are in, with the sin nature, corrupted, separated from God, dying, that we wouldn't reach out and take. Would you want to live in the physical, behavioral condition you are in right now? Is this immortality? When you accept Christ as Lord and Savior and the gift of eternal life is given, please understand something. Though it's dwelling within you, though it's the very foundation, reason, and source of the coming glorification, you and I as believers in Christ, we're not yet living in that indestructible, irrevocable immortality. Though you can contemplate it, feel it, know it, have assurance of it, and like me, I've not searched in any way over the years to find the substitute. Not in a pill, not in AI, not in nanotechnology, not on counterfeit promises, pseudo-immortality. Not at all. And I sure don't believe in the sad, sad doctrine of reincarnation. There's no fountain of youth. I mean, there's things we can do to keep ourselves going for a while. We can live longer than 40 and 50 and 60, maybe 70, 80, even 100. But death eventually, like the movie AI, even the AI eventually, sadly, very sadly in that movie, he also fades out, dies, ends, with nothing beyond. When a machine dies, when a car engine finally dies, I have had a couple that have blown and totally dead. It's over. That's why there's a junkyard. Is the grave just a human junkyard? I mean, you ever go by the junkyard and see all the junk? I mean, some junk never leaves. It's just there. It's where the junk is. The trash heap, where all the trash is, where it's buried. Is the human body, the human life, is that the end? Trash pile? Is that really what the grave, the casket, what it's all about? Just simply a trash pile. The junkyard. Zero beyond death. Listen, to conquer death, is it because the fear that there's, you know, you don't know what's on the other side of death? That you think this side, living right here, is all there is? So if you think that death is the end and we don't exist any longer. Now, I had a discussion with a lady standing at a Quick Shop who told me she believes some of the things in the Bible, but not everything. And she believes that when we die, like an erased tape, like something that just ends, like an engine, like a motor, like something that breaks and goes to the junkyard or the trash heap, we just die. We're done. There is no afterlife. And possibly Richard Dawkins and others believe this kind of concept, but yet something inside of mankind and the scientists and the physicists and the geneticists all quest for this conquest of conquering death. In the book of Ecclesiastes, maybe you've read it sometime, it says that God has set eternity in our hearts. It's there. The concept is there. Now, in Ecclesiastes, it says, God has set eternity in our hearts, but we can't fathom what God has done from beginning to end. Why? Because we're finite. At least admit it, you can't. You're sitting and listening right now, but you can't be in another nation. You can't be in another state. You are not omnipresent. You are not omniscient. You are not omnipotent. You can't jump 100 yards up into the sky standing, you know, still. Just jump straight up. There's things you can't do. And all of the science and all the tech and all the dreams of the physicists can't reach what flows from the hands of the infinite, of the one whose very existence is immortal, indestructible, indefeatable. Unchanging, immutable, on and on and on you can go. Reincarnation, are you kidding me? If you've been reincarnated, how many lives did you have, and how do you really discover it, and do you trust the discovery process? Is it only, in the occult world and psychic world and spiritistic world that you find these things out? Is it only in the past life regressions and finding out? And then how many lives? 10, 20, 30, 40? Where did you begin? Who are you right now? If you were Fred, Joe, Sally, Bob, Alexander the Great, and on in the past, and here you are now as Sam, well, is Sam really Sam, or is he a combination of all the others? And when you, Sam, who believes in reincarnation, dies, your physical body goes to the ground. That's the end of it. Of course, in reincarnation, your body never reappears. It's done with. Quite different when it comes to God who made it and the sacredness of that physical body. But in reincarnation, you're done with it and you go off to wherever. And then whatever, wherever, somewhere out there, you're spit back into this existence. What to learn again, to overcome your evil in the past. Reincarnation recognizes a little bit. Laws of karma engaged. And so you come back and you're Myrtle. Next time around, Sam, you're Myrtle. And so Myrtle is really Sam, who's really Fred, who's really Joe, who's really Alexander the Great. Are you a multiple? Is this multiple consciousnesses in one? Is this multiple spirits in one? Multiple souls in one? Are you ever you? And if you become, Sam, listen, if you become Myrtle, where's Sam? Faded into the mix? Where's the uniqueness of Sam or Joe or Fred? And on and on and on. Listen, not only is it not a reality, that it does stream from finite, counterfeit spiritual entities, it is incredibly sad. Now we can go on to AI and all the promises that we're seeing in the quest for living forever. You know, eventually, you know, you could be cyborg man, but eventually maybe maybe you're a robot. And we've learned how to download our personality, our soul, into the robot that can constantly fix itself, like Terminator and that kind of thing, and fix ourselves again and again and again and again. And yet, is that the same? Will you have hair on your head? Will it be so designer that you'll look just like a Stepford wife? What about the alien issue of, is it the aliens that will bring us to immortality? Will they come and show us how we can ascend out there somewhere? And what's that all about? And let's touch on the subject of Nephilim. Let's touch on the subject of the Aryans and the Godmen and the goal to backbreed, to get the genetics of the Godmen. They lived longer, they were stronger, they were healthier, they were bigger. That's also involving the quest to conquer death, to conquer the weaknesses of life. I mean, that's part of the genetics right now. That's why there are those deeply embedded and committed in the Luciferic side that discuss genetics. Whether you or I believe that, they understand the concept of conception, where the possibilities of Nephilim genes spliced in, energized in by demonic ritual, all to create an altered, live longer, be stronger, superhuman. Would you still be human if you had your soul in a robot? Mechanical body, would you still be human? The movie Alien with Weaver that played the part, the woman that played the part in fighting the aliens constantly, she had a companion that she didn't like. It was an artificial intelligence that eventually gets squashed and has the white fluid, almost like blood flowing out of him, and he's partially alive but crushed. A lot of things to think through in all of that, and obviously it is on the table, been there a long time, the quest for immortality. But here's some questions. Let's say the scientists, geneticists, maybe it's through nanotechnology, maybe it is AI, maybe it is some other thing, maybe otherworldly entities, non-human enhancement comes, maybe like the New Agers have been told spiritually that a spiritual wave is coming that will activate dormant DNA and somehow burst us into an evolution not only of consciousness, but of longevity, if not immortality. Maybe there are DNA, junk DNA to us, but really once activated, immortality returns. After all, if we were immortal in the beginning, and if death is an intrusion, and it seems like every one of these books in front of me, every one of these ones on genetics, the ghost in the atom, the religion of technology, the scientific conquest of death, and literally on and on, building, bridging science and spirit. You can go on and on and on and on. They're all questing to conquer death, to obtain immortality. I mean, there's billions that could be made in this. Obviously, the rich would be able to buy into it a lot quicker, as they've done cryonics, as they've done the latest in the world of medicine and surgeries and so forth. I mean, we have people from around the world that fly into the Cleveland Clinic because it's the best, and it saves their lives, or at least prolongs their ability to live here. But let's just say through whether it's science, non-human enhancement, whether it's in the genetics, whether it's in AI, whether it's in whatever it is, if immortality is obtainable, will that include changing human nature? Are we going to be just immortally involved in rape and killing and bad relationships and divorce, wars and bad politics and on and on and on and on? If you're immortal, will you still be sad? Will you still be spit upon? Will you still wonder where you came from and who you really are and where you're really going? In the conquest of conquering death, if I could point you to something. And I'm going to take time to kind of read it out to you, if you don't mind. Listen, if you're not somebody that really gets into the Bible, but maybe you've never read this, maybe you've never read this at all, maybe you've never looked at it. There is a psychological attack on the concept of death, because death is an intrusion. And again, I'm going to say it from the point of what the Spirit of God says, what God says about this, what biblical revelation says about it all. Death is an intrusion. Death is a result of sin. Death comes because of the temptation that involves being broken away from God. And I believe that involves, again, the literal connection we had where spirit and material being connects. Because of this intrusion, because of another actual substance or nature that has come into us. And it includes affecting, literally infecting and affecting DNA in the genes. I mean, we can read about it in Romans, the wages of sin is death. But I want to read about it in the book of Hebrews. And I want you to hear these words. And here again, here's what it says. Verse 14, since the children, referring to all of humanity, since the children have flesh and blood, he too, referring to God in Christ, he too shared in their humanity. That involves motivation, the will of God, genetics. It involves it all. Here's what it says. So that by his death, he might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is the devil. Listen, for the gothers out there, for those that love to swim in the oppression of death and be at death's door. You ever see the individual that in his living room, a coffin? Everything that's there is about death, except death itself. It's funny how a lot of those who parade death in their clothing, in their poetry, but they don't want to die, especially if they have a boyfriend or girlfriend. Listen, verse 15, this is what the cross, Christ, and the physics of God, the motivation of God, the heart of God, accomplished at the cross. And free those who all their lives were held in slavery by the fear of death. Can I say, can I ask the questions? Can we be honest? Can we ask the scientist, the physicist, the geneticist, the ones that are seeking the conquering of death and the quest of man accomplished, acquired immortality? Is the real reason, well, I could say psychological. I mean, check in with the psychologist on this. It's without question humankind fears death and doesn't like to talk about it. Years ago, when I was in youth ministry, we'd have every year a different crew of young people, but we would have a meeting where they were all topical. And at the topical meetings, they could be on heaven, they could be on occult, they could be on sex, they could be on dating relationships. But the one that we had on death seemed always to be the one packed out. And so there'd be a lot of discussion about death and talking about death and caskets and would you want to be under a casket lid and all these things that with kind of fear and trepidation, a lot of young people will discuss, knowing that they're healthy and they're not near death. Or they might begin to cry because a grandmother that passed away, death has affected them in some way. But in the discussion, what I have them do at one point, and I've done this for years and years, close your eyes. All the students close their eyes. Close your eyes. I want you to think hard and long, contemplate, think, when death comes, you don't exist any longer. You're zipped. You're gone. try to conceive that you don't exist at all. And I don't know what it is, but I will say this, in the psychology of teenagers, they don't like that. They don't like that at all. I've got good news that you, listening right now, the very young people that listened there years ago in those meetings, because of the significance of who you are, because God did place eternity in our hearts, we can't fathom what God has done from beginning to end, because in our literal ancestry before the fall, we were immortal. We were eternal. Any kind of aging would not be an aging unto death. Again, I will say, from the biblical perspective, from God's perspective, from the proclamation, beginning to end, death is an intrusion. Death is an enemy. Death has to be conquered. Death is going to be swallowed up. In the beginning, God said very carefully, very clearly, with a preemptive, redemptive, preserving warning. Don't throw God to the curb. Don't throw the word, the living word of God, to the curb, and embrace the alternative. Don't cross the line. It is so big. It is so wide. You will die. And in dying, literally, if you read the Hebrew, in dying, you will die. There was an immediate death. It involved our spirit, our soul, our mind, our body, our emotion, our DNA. It involved everything, an intrusion. At that concurrent moment, an intrusion occurred. God's out. The dark presence is in. Sin nature, a code in the DNA. Walk away from God. Hostility to God. Don't submit to God. Move the dark way. Be a platform for darkness. Well, let me tell you something. In all of the quest since that time, and man has always quested for that, I believe the Nephilim have quested, what is a sarcophagus? What is the goal of the afterlife among the deepest of occultists, if not the Nephilim themselves? Nephilim can die. Can I tell you something clearly? Only God. God does not die. God is not threatened. God is indestructible. Can I say to the one that quests, that looks, that is interested, can I say to the Psy warrior, glass of whiskey in hand, cigarette in mouth, in Russia, this involves the physics of God beyond the United States, beyond the Russian scientists. DARPA can't touch this. The new DARPA of Russia cannot touch this. It involves the physics of God. It involves something so much higher. Oh, there's science to it, but it's the science of God. The death, the burial, the shedding of the blood of Christ, and the resurrection from the dead as prophesied, as God said it would happen, as Jesus said it would happen. All about the conquering of this thing called death. Glorification is the ultimate conquering. Listen, I don't think most listening to me now has really done a deep study on glorification. Glorification, which is really the end, the goal of what salvation is. If you're saved, if you know Christ, if you know God, and you know the gift of eternal life is in you. At least look at 1 John chapter 5. I write this to you, or to those who believe in the name of the Son of God. You've received him. The Spirit of God came in. A new nature came in. The old nature is broken. Satan's law is snapped. Death's rule and law and legalities snapped. Hell's rights snapped. God is present. Christ is present. Love is there. A renewal inside. An ability to grow in depth. But that is not... I don't care how deep and wide and broad you grow as a believer in Christ. It is nothing in comparison to the ultimate glorification. And it's done by the science of God, by the physics of God. 1 Corinthians 15, we've talked about this. We can look about this concept in 1 Thessalonians 4. We can look where the dead in Christ rise first. We who are alive, harpezo. There is a metaschizmazo is the Greek word out of Philippians 3. That our lowly body will be transformed and made like his glorious, indestructible, irrevocable, immortal body. Listen, the physics of God involves this glorification. The glorification is the event. It happens in the twinkling of an eye. Like salvation, when you receive Christ justified, made righteous, made clean, a change occurs from the inside out, and it affects you DNA and genetically, because even if your physical body dies as a believer, absent from the body, present with the Lord, the moment you die, you're in the face of the Savior that gave his life for you at the cross. You're in the hands of the infinite, not floating around in the nether world of the possibilities of reincarnation or nothing or zip or zap. Listen, what is the truth? What is the truth? Jesus said, I am the way, the aletheia, I am the truth, the reality. Do you have that? Do you have reality? Do you have truth? All I can tell you is pulsating inside of me for all these years now is the presence of the Spirit of God, the revelation of the Word of God, living words that affect you all the way down to your DNA. As a matter of fact, you can read in the book of 1 John, do a study on this, the reason why those who are really born of the Spirit of God cannot live, go on living as if they never have been, if they're really living under the power of sin and living permanently in the sin nature. You can't. Why? Because the seed, it's a Greek word used in what causes conception. The seed of God remains in you. As a believer in Christ, please understand that this is the genetics of God. This is the concept of the science of God, but it's infinite. It comes from God. It comes from the immortal, omniscient, and omnipotent God. It is obtainable, yes. But the quest to conquer death and bring about man-based, scientifically acquired immortality, does that solve the issue of where is God? Do I know God? Does it negate the issue that God knows you, God wants you, God pursues you, that even as you listen right now, maybe because you were interested in the subject, something beyond all the talk of genetics and science and physicists and in all of it, the reason for the coming glorification and the gift of indestructible, irrevocable immortality, the ability to not only live forever, but live forever incredibly, wonderfully, and see God face to face as friend. To be in relationship, to be where the source of what love really is. The motivation of God in redemption, the motivation of God in coming to conquer sin, death, hell, the grave, the fear, the motivation. Don't miss this. I don't care if you're in a laboratory. I don't care if you're a soldier. I don't care if you're a DARPA scientist. You're not my enemy. God so loved the world that he gave the monogenesis, the one and only absolutely begotten of God, Christ. That whoever believes in him, takes him as the source. Jesus is the highest science possible. He is the highest when it comes to physics, when it comes to the effecting of the human genome. Salvation is the splicing in, not just of the what is needed, the function of conquering sin, death, hell, and all the rest, and giving us immortal, irrevocable, eternal lives, I mean indestructible lives. It involves a relationship. God loved us, so he conquers the things that brings the separation, that rip us, that potentially will take us away from him forever. And there is that potential. there is a potential to lose your soul. Your physical body is one thing, scientist. The singularity is not a biological, not a physicist's dream, not an AI dream of immortality without God. Really, immortality without God? Would Richard Dawkins want to live forever immortal but still be an atheist? Really? The quest for life is there because this life has been so deeply damaged down to our DNA, down to our genes. Everything, Genesis 3, was broken. Relationship with God, relationship with self, relationship with anyone and everyone else down the road. Relationship in a world that has been subject to decay. The sentient creation, it even knows that a new heaven and a new earth by the physics of the infinite God is coming. Romans 8 is clear about the sentient, feeling, created order around us. All of it points to God. All of it relies on God. And there is a groaning. There is an expectation in creation. It involves the glorification. It involves the day that glory. Listen, New Agers, there will be an activation spiritually. If you have in you the seed of God, look that up in the book of 1 John. If you have in you the seed of God, not just dead, dormant DNA, but literally the DNA of God. Salvation is Christ coming in and planting into you, actually, by His Spirit, in a real sense, the DNA of God, the seed of God, the presence and power of God. Whatever it is, in the sense of physics, science, function, it is ultimately the personal presence of God. That is the deposit. That is the guarantee. Ephesians chapter 1, you can read that. It guarantees the future glorification. Do you know that? Have you read that? Have you sat back as a human being and engaged the Word of God? Gospel of John. Thessalonians chapter 4, about the dead in Christ rising. How about Hebrews 2, where it speaks of the conquering of death? There was a conquest from God, and it was all about the defeat of sin, Satan, death, hell, all of it. But it comes back down to God's engagement with you. Is there any reason why you wouldn't want God? Is there any reason why you wouldn't want to be in relationship with God? What about that drive to be autonomous? Apart from God, your own God, that's part of the sin code inside of you. Romans chapter 8, that drives you to be hostile to God, that is the element from within that quests to keep God away and keep self exalted. It's deceptive. It's inseparably connected to the fallen cherub to the dark side. And if you're lost, it's the operating principle deep within, even in your genes. It has everything to do with your moral construct, your spiritual condition. See, it's clear God reveals that outside of God, your spirit is dead to God. God is not on the inside. But on the inside is the death code, the sin code, Satan's rites, hell's doors are open. Now listen, either you know that God is in there, Christ is in there. I mean, experientially, you know the joy, the presence, the power. Unless, again, you're a backslidden believer, you've grieved the Spirit of God, and you've lost a sense of feeling, though you know that your Savior is there. Why are you going to hold him in the background when, well, probably because you've been defeated in spiritual warfare or you've given into some stupid sin. Can I read again Hebrews 2, verse 14, quote, since the children have flesh and blood, that's you and me, now he is God. The Logos always was and is God became flesh. He too shared, that's the incarnation. That's genetics. In the conception of God, the Holy Spirit, causing the conception, female human egg, the conception, sacred, God, even the angel knew and explained it to Mary. The genetics of Jesus, wow. Well, listen, there's the genetics of the Antichrist coming, Homo Satanas. Oh, listen, you could be in the midst of all the debate and quest and looking at all these subjects. You could be the New Ager wanting your dead dormant DNA to, you know, be activated by some outside unknowable spiritual force. And I'm going to proclaim to you that that again is the seduction. That again is the lie. That is the elusive spiritual carrot put out way in front of you. And the devil treats you like the donkey, chasing it, chasing it, chasing it. Could it be possible that the scientist, the physicist, the biologist, the geneticist, in the quest to conquer death and acquire man-made immortality, hear me, think through it, has become the donkey, the stick and the string and the carrot way out there? You want the carrot. You want the immortality because you want the end of death. I'll say it again. There's a book. The death of Christ, or the death of death in the death of Christ. Can I say again, when you think in terms of God and human flesh on the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I hope that your finite, limited science, physics, understanding of genetics, nanotechnology, AI, I hope that biology and the goal of the singularity, I hope that a spiritual deception, a counterfeit, all of which becomes the elusive carrot on the string way out there that has never been. And I will say it, on the basis of man, even offered by the fallen cherub, is not attainable. The finite cannot give you the immortal. Only the immortal can give you immortality. On the cross, the one that loves you, as a believer, you should spiritually be jazzed by this. You should be overwhelmed, yes. Listen, we've come to the end of the hour, and we have so much more to say on this in the coming weeks at the conference, and we just simply say, by God's providence and by our engagement together, I pray that the Spirit of God will lead you to Christ, where the answers, the love, and the gift of indestructible, irrevocable, indefeatable immortality awaits you. If you have it, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. This is Russ Dizdar, ShatterTheDarkness.net. Hey, remember us in your prayers. And if you can, and if you believe this is beneficial, remember us in your support. God bless.